Hopefully on your way in, you've got a Bible. We're going to turn in a moment to Matthew. But before we do that, I want to remind you of something we looked at in November. If you were able to be here in November at our church AGM, we introduced this. We introduced this, our new church mission statement. And in some ways, what we're doing here is just recapturing, refreshing the language that we've always used to describe who we are and what we're trying to do as a church. If you're not aware, we have a long history. Berry Street Chapel, Ken, you might remember, when did it start? That was in this building, wasn't it, 1953? But way before that, Berry Street Chapel used to meet above the shops and in Cambridge Terrace, and so this church has a long history. And yet, Berry Street Chapel then moved here in 1953, and in 2017, a group from Enfield Town Community Church came and helped to re-establish, in some sense, reinvigorate the church family. And look at us now. What? Yes, exactly, Lynn, exactly. Look at us now. When we started in 2017, I don't know if you remember the banner that was at the front. We had a banner that said, Making Jesus Known. It says that on the front of the building as well. And it said, Growing to Know Him Better. And in some sense, from 2017 to now, that has been our desire, to make Jesus known and grow to know him better. And I think I've seen, just in the 4 years that we've been here, 3.5 years, I've seen that happening. We've been making Jesus known, we've been growing to know him better. What a joy. But we've moved, in some sense, from being a kind of what would typically be defined as called a church revitalization, to an established church. We're just a church. We're a church, and that is a wonderful thing. And there's a period of transition in that, but there's also a period of transition as you get a new pastor and a new eldership, because we're now a three, me, Nigel, and Veman. And so this season of transition over the last 6 months or so has just helped Nigel and Veman and I to rethink, along with some conversations with you, who are we? Who are we in 2025? Who are we as a church? What are we trying to do? And so very simply, this language that we're going to have as our kind of family language seeks to just help us remember who we are and what we're trying to do. And so for the next 3 Sundays, this Sunday and then the next 2 Sundays, we're just going to walk through this statement together. This morning, we're going to think about what it means that we're a family. And next Sunday morning, we're going to spend time thinking about it, what it means to be enjoying life in Jesus. What does it mean that we're Christian and that we have Jesus and have joy in him? What does that mean? What does that look like? What might that feel like for us? And then in 2 weeks' time, we're going to be thinking about that phrase, making him known. What's that going to look like for us? And our hope really is that this new, fresh language just sort of refreshes us, helps us to remember who we are and what we're trying to do. And so this morning, we're just going to spend the next 15, 20 minutes thinking about what it means that we're family. Berry Street Community Church, a family. Well, before we turn to Matthew chapter 12, you can turn there if you'd like to, Matthew chapter 12. We're going to visit Matthew chapter 12 and Acts 2 this morning. And we're going to see two things. I want us to see the basis of our being family. What is it that makes us a family? And what might family life look like? What makes us a family, and what might family life look like? Before we read Matthew chapter 12, we're going to be at the end of Matthew chapter 12, page 978. Once you've found it, I'm going to pop something on the screen and invite us just to think about it on our own for a moment. Just to reflect on a couple of questions as we think about what it means that we're family. Here we go. When you think of church, do you mostly think building or people? When you think of church, do you mostly think place or something you're part of? When you think of church, do you think of it being somewhere you go, you attend, or something you belong to? Church, is it a building or a people? Well, maybe we know the answer to that, but how do we think of it? Do we think of church as a building or as the people? Do we think of it as a place or something we're part of? somewhere we attend, or something we belong to. And I think the way that we tend to answer those questions probably reveals something about how we think of and what we think church is. And I hope this morning that we're going to just really clearly see that church is a people that we're part of, a family that we belong to. If we had to move into a different building, we'd still be Berry Street Community Church, a family. I hope we'll see that. Now, the Bible describes church in lots of ways, through the New Testament particularly. It describes church like a body, like a bride, like a flock, like a temple. And all of those metaphors are really good for describing church. So, body, one body made up of many parts. Maybe you know the language from 1 Corinthians of, you know, if the eye can't say to the foot, I don't need you. A body, many members, one body, Christ as the head. A bride that is destined for marriage to Jesus, like a flock made up of sheep, me and you, sheep, following Jesus, our good shepherd. Or a temple, a place where God's presence is by the Holy Spirit, each of us like little bricks in a building. But above all those metaphors, there's a dominant theme in the New Testament for church, and it is not a metaphor, it's a spiritual reality that we're family. We're like a flock, we're like a bride, we're like a temple. We are a family. So Matthew chapter 12, verse 46. Hopefully you found it. Matthew chapter 12, verse 46. What is the basis of our family? While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside, wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." He replied to him, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." The scene is this. It's quite straightforward. Jesus is in a building teaching a crowd of people. His mother, Mary, and his brothers come and they knock on the door and they say, "We want to see Jesus. Can you go and get him for us?" And maybe the disciple is like, "Well, who are you? I don't recognize you. Well, can you go and tell him we're his mom and his brothers?" And so the disciple goes into the building, finds Jesus, says, your mother and your brothers are here. They want to talk to you. They want to speak to you. And in so many ways, it should be really simple what happens next, shouldn't it? It should just be a matter of Jesus going outside saying, "Hi, mum. All right, bro." Or, "Oh, yeah, great, bring them in." But Jesus uses this moment to teach a profound, wonderful spiritual reality. Who is my mother and who are my brothers? Verse 49, pointing to his disciples, he says, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Jesus identifies so closely with his disciples that he calls them his family. In the Gospels, we get this idea of doing the will of the Father, and it is to trust the Son, to follow the Son, to be a disciple of Jesus is to do the will of the Father. And Jesus says, if you are a person who trusts me, if you are a person who follows me, if you have put your faith in me, you're my mother, my brother, my sister, my family. And so the basis of our being family is trust in Jesus. Now, the basis of our family, that means it's not that we like singing the same hymns or Christian songs. It is not that we've been coming here for 30 years or 20 years, or we were part of the team that started Berry Street Community Church in 2017. It is not that we serve lots. It's not that we give our time and energy and money. The basis of our being family is trust in Jesus. If you're a disciple of Jesus, he would happily look at you and say, brother, sister. Maybe some of you he'd say mother, I don't know. Father. And just feel the weight of that. If you're trusting Jesus, he would happily look at you and call you brother. What an astonishing thing that the Son of God, God in flesh, comes to us and willingly calls us his family if we trust him. If you're here this morning and you've put your faith in Jesus, you are in the family. You're his brothers and sisters. You belong. And it's not because we're great and we're good. It's because we've put our trust in him. That step of trusting Jesus has given us forgiveness of all our sin. It's given us eternal life. It's given us adoption into God's family. And that idea of adoption, that idea of being children of God, comes out in the New Testament, in the letters particularly, in all sorts of ways, but most profoundly in Galatians 3, I think, when Paul says this to the Galatian Christians. In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Anyone here, maybe this describes you, anyone here who has put their faith in Jesus, you are a child of God. What a staggering status. I wonder how often you go about your day and just think, oh, I'm a child of God. I don't deserve that. I didn't do anything to deserve that, to earn it, and yet he has given me the status of child of God. What an amazing privilege. It's why we get to pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father, because we're his children. We're in the family. I think there's one other way that this comes across really clearly, this idea of being family in the New Testament, through Paul's letters mostly, when he writes to churches and he talks about them as his and their collectively brothers and sisters. Let me just, these are just in the first chapters, okay? 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 8, Galatians 1 verse 11, Philippians 1 verse 12, Colossians 1 verse 2, 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 4, 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3. And that's just the starts of the letter. Through those letters, over and over, Paul will use that phrase, brothers and sisters, brothers and sisters, brothers and sisters. It's the basis for his identifying them together as a family in their local churches. Paul is at pains to persuade the Christians he writes to remind them, hey, look around. These are your brothers and sisters. This is your family. We're family. I wonder how you would describe the difference between a club, a community, and a church. A club, a community, and a church. Think of the bowls club across the road or the tennis club down the street. Think of the theatre company who used this building before Christmas for their events at the last minute. That community. What's the difference? Those are places of genuine and good community, friendship, relationship. They're mostly organized around a preference for an activity or a set of ideals. But this is church. We might have much in common. We might not. Arsenal fans in the room? Tottenham fans in the room? Wow. There will be conflict down the street between those two groups of people. Genuinely. And yet here, because we're brothers and sisters in Christ, we're united together as family despite our differences. And the thing that unites us is our trust in Jesus. That is the thing that sets us apart. We're family because of Jesus. Now, I don't know if anybody know where this is? Top of London Road on the way into Enfield Town, just opposite the Dugdale Centre. This banner really caught my attention. because there's something really lovely about it, isn't there? They're describing this sixth form as like a family. But do you know what they can't say? They can't say a family. They can use it as a metaphor. They can use it to describe how they're trying to do things and how things feel, but they cannot say St. Anne's sixth form, a family. This church, the brothers and sisters in this church can say, we're like a family. We can go beyond that. We can say, we are a family. Jesus has made us brothers and sisters. Well, I just wonder whether we think like that. Maybe across the room, as you look around, you see friends, hopefully. Do you see brothers and sisters? Maybe you look across the room and you see somebody who's a bit grating for you. Your personalities just clash. That's your brother or your sister, if you're trusting Jesus. As the children go to explorers, as they come out again this morning, how do you think of them? Other people's kids. Well, yeah, but also ours. Those children are part of our family. You might prefer to call them nieces and nephews rather than sons or daughters or grandsons and granddaughters, but we won't put a decision on the age thing. Do you think of them like that? Our children, part of our family as they come out. It's a very small example, but one of the things Lizzie and I are trying to do for Jesse is help him understand who people are based on whether they're part of our family or not. And so my uncle, his uncle and auntie in Oxford, their uncle Wayne and auntie Emma. But what we're trying to do is also show him by introducing him to people in this church family as auntie and uncle. So when we talk about coming to church, just this morning, Lizzie said, do you want to go to church?
Yeah.
We might see Uncle Paul.
Yeah.
We might see Auntie Hazel.
Yeah.
Auntie Anna might be there.
Yeah.
And that sense, trying to communicate to him that sense of this is genuinely, it's not just like your family, this is your family. These are your brothers and sisters. I wonder if you can think of other ways to help us remember, reflect on the reality, the spiritual reality that we're family. This is not just a building, not just a place that you attend. These people, Berry Street Community Church, is a family that if you're trusting Jesus, you are part of, you belong to. What a wonderful reality. We're a family. And so if we're a family, what does family life look like? Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. 1094, if that's helpful. Now, part of the reason a family has made it into that mission statement is because it's a spiritual reality. But it's also made it into that mission statement because it does genuinely capture something of who we are. I know lots of people who have come into this building, met these people, and said, oh, it seems like you're a family. And the ways that we care for each other are often demonstrative of that. We show it by the way we love each other. And I'm just often very encouraged by the ways that we care for each other. And so that is a sort of caveat before I help us look at Acts 2, and potentially we feel discouraged because they're doing more than we are. But we see there's a sense of family here, and we see wonderful ways that we love each other already. And the desire then is to grow in that, to increasingly be the family that God has made us. And so Acts chapter 2, page 1094, I'm going to read from verse 42. They, the early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I wonder what grabs you. Just glance over it again. I wonder what grabs your attention as we read of their activity, the early church. This is what their life as a family looked like. Anything grab anyone's attention? Anyone think, oh, that's interesting? Or, oh, I wonder what that looked like? Anybody particularly grabbed by anything? Yeah. They so knew each other. They so loved each other. They had so much in common. Anything else striking? Yeah. They met together every day. Verse 46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Now, life was a bit different for them. Circumstances were different. The first century, it was just a very different place to 21st century London. But that is interesting, isn't it? They met together every day. Here's a couple of things then that we might notice. That language, verse 42, they devoted themselves. It doesn't say they kind of got involved in. No, they devoted themselves to what? To the apostles' teaching. So they listened intently to Paul and Peter and the other apostles. They wanted to know what Jesus had said and they wanted to understand how to do this new thing called church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship. And that word fellowship, it's a close-knit, tied-together relationship word. It's not just I'm guilty of this. It's fine to talk about the weather and to talk about football, but it's not just that. It's more than that. It's going further than that. The men's Bible study yesterday in the A10 cafe, I thought this is a good example of fellowship. We met together, we ate together, we had a time reading Matthew 18, and then we talked about it together and we prayed together. And I thought this is just a great way of capturing what real fellowship is. They devoted themselves to fellowship. And the breaking of bread, that might be the Lord's Supper, it might just be a kind of eating meals together. They ate a lot of bread. And so it was like, come round, we'll get the pizzas out. Come round, I've got a ready meal. It's not much, but I've got one. Ready. Do you want to share it? We'll open it up. That sense of breaking bread together, eating together. They had everything in common. They were together often. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And then they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. I wonder how often we're in and out of each other's homes. Sometimes that's impossible. Sometimes that's very possible, but we find it hard. So let's be better if we can be being in and out of each other's homes. Midweek, Sunday afternoons. Challenge. It's hard. We've got stuff to do, but they spent their time together. They do so much of life together. I think it is testament to our family life together that people often come here and say we're like a family. But I just wonder in what ways Acts 2, verse 42 to 47 might reshape our family life. I wonder if somebody from this experience in the first century came to us in the 21st century and spent time with us at Berry Street Community Church, I wonder what they'd be encouraged by, maybe our loud singing and our regularity on a Sundays, but I wonder what they'd be like, oh, come on, guys. You're a family. I wonder what they'd say. Maybe you can discuss over coffee. What would that person, if they went in a time machine and walked through the doors and saw how we did family life, what would they be like? Oh, come on. You can demonstrate your family that bit more. I wonder what they would say. And I've said already, but culture is different. I don't think they'd say, looking at the way we do life and the way work is and the way money works and all that sort of stuff, I don't think they'd say, you need to meet together every day. Why are you not doing that? But I do think they'd have questions about our regularity, perhaps, and the way we share life through the week. And that might just be WhatsApp messages now. It might just be more phone calls rather than day-to-day actually meeting together. But I wonder how we demonstrate our family life through the week. I wonder if that person came through the door, they'd feel like that. But I think it's probably true for the persecuted church as well. People across the world who would be astonished at our privilege. They never get to meet with another believer. And then they know that we get to meet with 30, 40 brothers and sisters. I think they would help us remember, this is precious. This is a wonderful privilege that we have to meet together. We're family. And so what might family life look like if we allowed Acts 2 to shape it? There's loads of ideas. I've just got a few. Here they are as a very quick summary, okay? This is just a mindset shift, okay? Think of the Lord's Supper as we gather as brothers and sisters around the Lord's table to eat bread and drink from the cup. Think of it as a family meal. Brothers and sisters, this morning as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, just look around the room and see people eat and drink and think, these are my brothers and sisters. This is my family. You might think of baptism as a family sign. I'm told that some Scottish families have their own tartan. Is that right? I don't know. A bit like a having your own tartan, family sign, baptism. You might think of church membership like a family commitment. I'm in. I want to be in. I'm in the family. Think of the Lord's Prayer as our family prayer. You could think of Tuesday night prayer meetings as the time the family gathers to seek the Lord and cry out to Him, bring our requests to Him as a family. Likewise, Tuesday Bible study, thinking of that as a time where the family gathers to study God's book, the family book. Or the fellowship gathering that we have on the first and third Sunday. And the soup and sweet, the lunch we have on the fourth Sunday. Think of them as family time. Extra family time where we gather together to get to know each other better and spend time encouraging each other with fellowship. And then I think the way that I'd love us to think about family in Acts 2 most is with this gathering on a Sunday morning. Think of Sunday morning not necessarily as a church service. It is that. That's a good description. But I'd love us to think of this gathering as the main family gathering. As you think of Sunday morning, I'd love us to think this is the main time that we're going to gather together as a family. And with that in mind, I'd love us to think about a kind of period of time, 10 till 12, rather than a service time, 10:30 to 11:30, 11:45, depending on what we're doing. That formal time will still happen, of course. But just think about the family gathering, 10 till 12-ish. There's tea and coffee. I don't know if you know, but at 10-ish every Sunday, there's tea and coffee available. Come along at 10, see who's here, chat to people, have a cup of tea, catch up, enjoy the formal part of the service, the family gathering, and then hang around. Now, some people can't get here earlier than 10:30. That's completely fine. Now, some people need to leave afterwards because you just need to walk the dogs. Or you've got family coming round and you need to put the dinner on. I completely understand that. I'd love us to just have that little mindset shift of thinking about Sunday mornings as a family gathering, roughly 10. Turn up at 10 if you can. Head off at 12 if you can. And that's that two-hour period we get to spend together every week as a family, investing each other's lives, caring for each other, looking out for each other. Just imagine how much more like a family we would feel if we lived out some of this Acts 2 stuff. It might be that you wish you could have people in your home for lunch, but that just feels out of reach, too difficult to do. Chat to me. I'd love to help with that and talk about how we might be able to make that work. People you could invite who might be easy as a first go if you want to take steps to have people in your home more. But I wonder for you and for me as individuals, what engagement in church life, in family life, might look like. Let's just have a moment to pause on the reality of that we're family and Acts 2 of family life, and then I'm going to pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you so much that as we trust Jesus, we're made family. Thank you for that basis of us being family. Thank you that Jesus' death on the cross secures our welcome into the family of God, that we are children because of him and our trust in him. Help us to have open hearts and open doors. Give us wisdom for our family life. Father, thank you for the innumerable, the many, many ways in which we see family life just happening in a wonderful way in this church family already. And we just want to ask that you pour out more blessing upon us in that way. Thank you for all the ways that people love each other, care for each other, provide for each other. We ask for more. Pour out that blessing upon us, we pray. Help us to be, as much as we can be in this life, help us to be the family that you have made us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.